unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
What's up, guys? It's your girl, Victoria J from 12th Street Talk Back. We are here with another guest on our Freedom Friday. I hope you guys have been pouring into yourself. Today, we are going to have on our show today, Ms. Hanan Mirabi from Earth Angels. But first, let's go ahead and give God a little bit of praise. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the fellowship. We thank you today for the grace and the mercy that you bestow on us each and every day. We thank you for breathing your breath into our bodies on this day, Father God. Heavenly Father, guide our footsteps in everything that we do today. Thank you for the fellowship and bless everyone on this live. Let those that have ears hear and those that have eyes to see, see. Amen, everybody. Amen. So listen, guys, today we have Hanan, a mother, a nurse leader, an author, founder of Earth Angels nonprofit organization, born and raised in Ghana, West Africa, and orphaned at a very young age due to the lack of good health care. Hanan always knew that she wanted to help others that were in such desperate need in Ghana. At age 15, she moved to the United States and became a U.S. citizen. She still knew somehow she would go back to Ghana to give back to those in need. In 2024, she founded Earth Angels with the dream that she could make a difference in the lives of mothers and babies all over the world. Hanan has called her. Hanan is called on to share her story around the country as an inspirational speaker. She has been asked to speak at nursing events, including nursing school presentations, charitable functions, and many other speaking engagements. Hanan coined the term, "The legacy is me," when she had a cathartic moment in 2013, realizing she could use her life's many struggles and painful experiences as catalysts for greatness. She believes that we all can write our own legacy and does her best to live to her fullest expression of herself in each role she takes on. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Hanan. Hi, Hanan. How are you?
Hello, I'm great. What an intro. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You are very, very, very welcome. Very, very welcome. I'm so excited. I was so excited that you decide to come on and talk to us about Earth Angels. But first, let's get to know a little bit about who Hanan is.
Yeah.
So tell us who you are, this wonderful, I mean, because I can't imagine having my hands full like you have your hands full.
I think you and I are in the same boat. Come on now. So who's Hanan? I am a mother. I'm a nurse. I am the founder and director of Earth Angels, as you said. I'm a ride or die friend, I like to believe. And, you know, just a woman trying to find my truth and to stay true to my calling, and really happy to be here.
I am so excited too. So let's get into it. Earth angels. I first heard about it when I spoke to you a couple months ago. And we just had a great conversation. It warmed my heart, the things that you are doing. So tell us a little bit about it, because you are the founder, you are the director, and you give back in so many ways. Guys, before she starts to talk about this, you have to go over to her website and you have to look at the videos that she has on her website. It blew me away, the wonderful and many wonderful things that I saw over there.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So, Earth Angels is my baby. It's my third baby. So as you said, I, you know, losing my parents due to the lack of basic health care very young was tragic for me and my siblings. You know, they orphaned six kids very young. My mom was in her 30s. My dad was in his 40s. And I was three with my mom, eight with my dad, very, very tender age when I lost them. And at a very young age, I always knew that I wanted to do something for those who had it worse than me. I always felt fortunate that at least I had family. At least my grandmother was taking care of me. At least I had my siblings. What do the kids back home who have no one and are just in an orphanage, what do they do? And so I always knew that I wanted to help. But it wasn't until I had my son, my first son, in 2012 in Atlanta. And it was a very traumatic delivery, very scary delivery. He almost perished, or at least I felt he was going to. And I had, you know, I was battling with a very serious illness. And so we both, you know, almost lost our lives. And that the thought plagued me after my delivery. What would I have done if I was still in Ghana? And I knew in my heart, I certainly wouldn't be here to be telling this tale, and neither would my son. And so that thought plagued me for a year, on and off, constantly just in my mind, nagging. What would you do? What would you have done? What do women back home do? What do they do? And I could not stop thinking anymore, Victoria. I realized one day I had to do something. And whatever that something was going to mean, I knew that I had to take that first step. And in 2012, with, you know, really no knowledge of how to run a nonprofit, I started Earth Angels with a mission to eradicate maternal and infant mortality, one mother and baby at a time. And here we are 12 years later, we are building a fish farm. It's our biggest project ever. We've taken on a myriad of causes all around the world, in the US, all mother and child related. But in the past 4 years, we got a small grant, and it had to be towards a feeding initiative. And so I wanted something sustainable. I wanted, you know, I'd been giving donations and supplies for years. I wanted something that was going to bring sustenance for generations to come. And so 4 years ago, I broke ground in Winneba, Ghana, and have been building a fish farm in this rural community where we feed people, provide jobs, and teach sustainable fish farming to the local agricultural students.
Well, do you go back and forth to Ghana, or how does that work?
Yeah, so I do. I haven't, I don't go as much as I'd like. I'd love to go every few months, but I haven't been since fall of 22. And I will go this year. I try to go, you know, every, at least every couple years to check on things, but I do have boots on the ground. One of my brothers is the GM of the farm. He's a fisherman. And he, you know, he has lots of experience. So he has slid right in and just been a really good point of contact for me. So he updates me daily. We plan together, and, you know, and he's sort of my eyes over there.
Over there. Oh, wow. Yeah. A fish farm, huh?
Yes. Yes. Who would have guessed a nurse building a fish farm?
So this was always your passion. As you told us in the beginning, you always dreamed of going back there to help.
Yes.
Coming from there, what specific experiences during your time in Ghana shaped your passion for addressing the maternal and the infant mortality there? Because you speak about that a lot on your platform.
Yes. Absolutely. You know, I think losing my mom so young and knowing the multiple ways it affected my life, and knowing that I wanted to make a difference, even if it was in the life of one child or of one mother, I knew that that was the impetus for wanting to help, is that it happened to me. You know, mm-hmm. My mother too needed help. My mother too needed saving and couldn't get it at 36. And next thing you know, she's, you know, leaving all these kids behind. And so that alone was the impetus. But then becoming a nurse in 2008, it's just sort of manifested just right. You know, that A, I was a nurse, and then mm-hmm. now I had this traumatic delivery myself. Mm-hmm. And felt that visceral need to make a difference. And so that's really, you know, I really just responded to what laid in my lap, if mm-hmm. you will. You know, I just couldn't turn that voice off anymore.
Right, right. We talked about that a little bit.
Yes.
You know, coming from over there and being in the situation that you were in as a young girl, and yes. how you had the passion for nursing. Are you right. still nursing and doing both, or this is just what you're doing with Earth Angels?
So I'm doing a lot of things, like you said. So I'm still a nurse. I'm a nurse leader. And so I left the bedside about 7 years ago. But I'm at a crossroads where, you know, I do so much of this, so much speaking, so much work for Earth Angels, that I think here soon I'm going to have to, you know, sort of something's going to have to give, because I am doing it all still and being a mother of two boys. So for now I still am, but, you know, working really hard to make sure that that's not always the case.
Oh yeah. I definitely get it. So what are some of the type of the Medicare and educational things that Earth Angels provide for the people over in Ghana? What are some of the specific things that you kind of horn in on to help the mothers and the infants over there?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So what locally by the farm, there's a health clinic, and then there's also an orphanage that we support. So we've been supporting both of them for about a year now. As soon as our fish were big enough to start feeding people, we started serving the local orphanage. So we give hundreds of fish away every month to the orphanage. We have a great relationship with them. And then at the health clinic, we do all sorts of things. So just last month, around Easter time, we had like an Easter screening lunch, and we did a preventative health screen for about 100 people that who typically don't go to the doctor, don't get to get, you know, have health care, certainly not preventative health. And we hosted a free preventative screening day where everyone that in that community could just walk right up and, you know, get their babies checked from head to toe, get them weighed. Some of them had never been weighed before. Full on head to toe exams for the mothers. And so healthcare is definitely what I'm honing in on. Though we have this fishing farm, that's always going to be where my passion is healthcare. So, you know, and if people aren't healthy, they can't do what they need to do. Your health is your wealth, my grandma always said.
Definitely.
So that's one of the main things. But we give, you know, we've given lots of different kinds of foods, postpartum supplies, that kind of thing, all mother and child related.
Oh yeah, definitely. So with Earth Angels, is it just for Ghana, or do you help over here in the United States, or is it specifically for Ghana, West Africa?
Yeah. So we used to do a ton of work in Atlanta where I'm based, the battered women shelters and such, also some group home help. We've done lots of feeding initiatives locally. But ever since we broke ground in Ghana, and that being such a huge project, all of our, you know, all of our resources are funneled there right now. but that's not how it always was. You know, like I said, we've done work in so many places, including locally. So my plan is to come back to the States. And, you know, I mean, of course, I'm registered in the States. We have everything in Atlanta, but we've paused on local work just because of funding. But the goal is to come back, circle back to ATL for sure.
That was my next question about funding. I heard you mention the grant that you guys got.
Yeah.
So how does that work? Do you get a lot of funding or does it just depend?
Yeah.
The area, I guess I would say. Because it seems like it will be kind of hard. You did the fish farm thing. And, you know, you're out here pushing the agenda to get the help for these infants and mothers. And money, we know money don't grow on trees.
No, it don't. And raising money, I have to say, has to be one of the hardest things to do, especially when people can't see it, taste it, you know, be part of it in the way they want to be. And so, yes, I show photos, I show videos, but it's incredibly difficult to raise money to send to this initiative that's not tangible, you know? And so it's incredibly difficult. And no, we have not received many grants. That was our first one. And it was just small enough to be able to break ground and get the, you know, buy the land and really start towards this really big goal. So, you know, no, the answer is I haven't had the kind of support needed to really just burst, you know, and really expand like I envision it in my mind. Because I have the vision in my mind of what I want it to be. It's clear, very clear to me.
Yes.
I manifested that very clearly. But, you know, I think it's a testament. Earth Angels is a testament to the power of one and to where there's a will, there's a way, and just believing in whatever it is that you dream of or want to make happen, because it will happen, you know. And Earth Angels is that testament, because with a shoestring budget, I do believe it is about to take off finally after 12 years, you know, lots of hustling, like you said, pushing the name, you know, getting it out there, marketing a lot of it on my own. I have a small board of women, and so it's been a lot, but I don't know how to quit, and I believe in it wholeheartedly.
And well, so, I wish you much success on that. I do.
Thank you.
Circling back around to the medical, you mentioned how you guys had the preventative day. Do you know, or can you estimate how many families did you have? How many mothers or infants that really needed your help you were able to provide your services to?
Absolutely. So that day we had about 300 people attend, and 87 of those people were taken care of, actually received health care that day. And some of them left with, you know, they were going to return because we had some malnourished babies, like toddlers. And so they were connected to our community navigator, who's going to help them with, you know, getting some, you know, nutritious, dense foods. And so those kind of things, or some education, there will be, you know, back and forth with those people that still need additional help. But 87 of those 300 were served that day.
That was wonderful.
Pretty incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. Gosh, I know you wish you could have helped everybody, but know, it's like you said, it's a growing process. How difficult is it to get medical supplies there? Or is it better to have someone just write a check?
Yeah, I would say the latter. You know, I used to send a lot of supplies, and I found that it was like the hamster wheel. I would raise a lot of money, and then I would send it all in supplies, and then I have to raise more and then send it all in supplies. And that's why the farm was you know, paramount for us, because it was a game changer. No more are we just working to raise money and give it all away, which there's nothing wrong with that. But at some point you need sustainability, and you want the nonprofit to feed itself, so you don't have to keep asking people for money, because at the end of the day, the majority of our donations have come from the kindness of individuals who are giving, you know, 10 bucks a month, 20 bucks a month. So I have stopped giving, just shipping supplies. What I have found is that it's better for me to send the funds after, of course, planning of what the list is and what's the most important on the, you know, the wish list, to have them purchased there versus me going through hoops and red tape. It's not so hard to ship things. I do have contacts. If I wanted to, I could do it, but it's expensive. It takes a few weeks. And then you have to send it there. So you have to clear it from the US, and then you have to clear it over there, and that's money, you know? So at the end of the day, you'll get it, you know, Ghana, you'll receive your items, but it'll take a while and it's pricey.
Yeah. I recently interviewed another young lady, Sylvia Morrison. She actually left Canada and moved to Ghana, and they're actually doing a farm. You did the fish farm. They're doing a farm in the soil. So I think it's wonderful what both of you guys are doing. I did want to ask you about the educational part of it, though.
Yeah.
Like preparing the mothers with the education that they need for helping their infants, or perhaps even helping themselves, you know, be educated on how to stay healthy. Do you guys provide those resources or classes or anything that you can do?
So on that day that we had our preventative screen, of course, we did education that day. Currently, we don't have our own sort of clinic to receive patients. So we're partnering with the local clinic. But eventually, when the farm is, you know, where I envision it in a couple of years, we will have our own preventative health center for those kinds of things, you know, birth control, sex education, breastfeeding assistance, those kinds of things, all mother and baby. That's where eventually we'll be headed. But for now, we partner with the clinic. We help them out whenever we can. We donate, whether it's food or funds, to help them achieve their goals, because they too are struggling.
I know. Well, you definitely have my support. So tell me, what are some inspiring stories for mothers and babies that you can think about that Earth Angels has done thus far since you began this project? Because I know it's near and dear to your heart. I can see the passion in your face when you talk about it.
Yes, for sure. Gosh, that's such a great question. I have so many. I think some of the, you know, a lot of the inspiring stories are also very painful ones. And that's something that, you know, I hate to go on a tangent, but I used to struggle with that word inspiration, because in order to inspire, it means you had to have pain in your life to be able to share that story and then inspire others, right? And so a lot of these stories are very painful ones, but at the same time, very inspiring. So when we did some work in India for a couple of years. We found, I was working with an Indian nurse. We partnered together, and she was my boots on the ground in Punjab, India. And so the clinic that we were giving our aid to and resources, et cetera, was very poor. It was a government hospital, and they had just bare necessities. So these women were riding their bicycles to have their baby, and then have their baby or walking to have their babies. And then they're discharged within a couple of hours back to work or. And so one of the nurses that was helping with the Earth Angels work, she was, you know, giving them as many supplies as they could have that made sense for them going back to work, or not being able to rest. You know, a lot of these women don't get to rest. What we hear in the West, you know, get weeks off, and, you know, we get to bond with our baby. Some of these women don't get to do the same. So they were farm workers, and they would have their babies and then back to the farm. And, you know, grandma and auntie and the village, everybody will help take care of the baby. So that's one of the projects we did that was very sad, but also very moving, because we were able to provide things like pads. They didn't get pads, panties.
Wow.
You know, we gave them each like a little discharge bag with goodies for the baby and blankets, etc. One project I did in Botswana, this one, it was mother and child related, but next thing you know, we get a report that one of the children in the village was tragically, had some sexual abuse happen. And so we ended up taking care of her, getting her to the local clinic, paying for her medical care, got her, as best as we could get her treated. Of course, gave her supplies, gave her some little toys, just as much as we could. Mm-hmm. The Syrian refugees, when the Syrian refugee crisis happened in Lebanon a few years ago, and they were Syrian refugees, being sent in boats all around the world. Lebanon had over a million of them taken in. I again had boots on the ground there, and we were able to send coats and boots for the winter that was coming, and they had nothing. Yes. Yes. And so that's the kind of work I did for years, for about, 10 years before the farm.
Wow. That is very, it's sad to hear you talk about the need.
Yeah.
And them needing more, but I'm also ecstatic that you were able to help some.
Yes.
And you're still able to help some.
Yes.
So what do you think about the long-term goals for Earth Angels? Where do you see this? What is it? One particular area do you want to focus on, or just the whole realm, the infants, the mothers, feeding?
Yeah. Yeah. I think my vision is for this health center that I mentioned to be sort of, on the farm, on the premises. I want the farm to become more of a community project versus just a fish farm. I want to eventually want to have a little library for the kids. I want to have a little art center. I want to have a health center, so I want it to be educational, and I want it to give back to the community versus be that nonprofit that comes in with all the answers. Next thing you know, we cripple the local community. And so we don't want to be that nonprofit. Because I'm from Ghana, and I have people there still. Like I said, the community navigator, her job is to tell us what the people need, not for us to come in and say, this is what we're going to do. We're not right. That nonprofit, And so that has been instrumental. That's why we had the health screening day, because that's what the people said they wanted. They want healthcare. And so we tried to listen and work accordingly. So I think that this farm is going to be the first of many. I think that eventually when we have the health center and this community come to life, as far as this community sort of center come to life, I think it'll be a model for the next ones across Ghana, West Africa, in the places that are it's needed the most, where it'll be gifts for generations to come. You're not just giving fish, you're teaching people how to fish sustainably, and
yes,
then providing jobs. So we've already hired some of these women that otherwise were living on the streets and they couldn't afford to take their kids to school. Now they have jobs, their kids are in school. These are generational gifts all from a farm.
Mm-hmm. 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 I didn't know that you hired them. That's great.
Yes.
That's wonderful. You gave them something to do to make a little bit to help support themselves.
Absolutely. That's the whole point, right? Because you can give somebody something all day long, but letting them learn to utilize it for their own good is really the gift. That's the real gift, is empowering them, giving them a source of income, and then putting their kids in school. I mean, to me, it don't get better than that.
Yeah. From generation to generation.
Yes.
From generation to, he wants us to have that generational wealth. And,
yes,
I think that's fantastic. What, if anything, would you like to leave my audience with today? What do you need the most for them to get out of sitting down talking to me today?
I think, like you advise, going to earthangels.org, take a look at the work we've done. It's honest. It's just, it's boots on the ground. It's, You know, this is the kind of nonprofit that I would want to support, is one that I know the money, all of the money, is going to the people who need it most. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, take a look at the site and you'll see the amazing work we've done all over the world. And if the mission moves you, you know, right now we do not have local volunteer opportunities. One day that will be the case, but we don't right now. So really what we need is money, you know, as little as you can afford, $5 a month, you know, whatever you can, because like I said, it's the people, it's individuals who have built this farm. Yes, we got that small grant, but like I said, we bought the land, we built some, you know, our first structure, but then the rest has had to come from somewhere. And that's from people who are giving, you know, a little bit every month. And that's what keeps the lights on the farm.
Yes. So guys, you heard that here. And she's also, Hanan has also offered a free ebook. I've got it pinned to the bottom of the screen. You guys can head on over there. Look at that. I post it on my personal and my 12th Street Talk Back page, a little clip of the website where you can see the wonderful things that she's doing there. Is there anything else that you would like for us to be aware of today before we exit?
That if they ever want to hear me speak, if anyone out there would like to hear more of my story or about Earth's Angels, or more about this book that I shared for free, TheLegacyIsMe.com is my speaking page. And there too, you can find out more so about me. The speaking page is more so about me. Mm-hmm. Some of my signature talks that I talk about, you know, we really focused on Earth's Angels today, which is awesome that, you know, like I said, it's my baby, but The Legacy Is Me is a whole nother.
Tell us a little bit about that before you go.
Okay.
Tell us a little about the Yes, we do. Tell us a little bit about that. I did watch the video. I loved it.
Did you?
Yes, I did. Good.
I'm glad to hear that. So The Legacy Is Me is, as you said, I lost my parents young. I was orphaned young. And so that, you know, just changed the trajectory of my life. I moved to the U.S. when I was 15. I was adopted by some family. It did not go well. I ended up running away at 18, and I've been on my own ever since. And what The Legacy Is Me comes from is the aunt that was part of raising me was not a kind human. And she said some really wicked and vile things to my siblings and I. And one of the wicked things she said often was that, you know, just so you know, your parents left no legacy behind. Just so you know, they left nothing behind. And it wasn't until I was in my early 30s and I was working night shift as a nurse, and I had this really crazy week where so many amazing things happened to me back to back. And I had this big just aha moment. And I realized, wait a minute, I have this nonprofit. I have these two great kids that I'm raising. I'm an amazing friend. You know, all these great things keep happening to me. And I think this lady was wrong. It's me that was the gift. I'm the legacy they left behind. Mm-hmm. The legacy is me. And that was in 2015 or so. And once I got to that place, it really helped me heal. And it has become sort of the center point of all of my speeches, that the legacy is you. You are the author of your own life. Does not matter the shackles that you were chained to by the hand of cards you were dealt. Once you realize they are there, if you want them gone badly enough, you can remove those chains that hold you. And so my story has become a testament of grit and fortitude, and Earth's Angels is just one of those amazing things that have happened because I have accepted all of my painful gifts, and I use them to help myself and those behind me. So that's what The Legacy Is Me is all about.
So you said gifts. I love the way you embrace that. You didn't take it as a woe it's me moment. You embraced it as your gifts once you realized that what your aunt was speaking wasn't the truth.
No, no. And I always knew she was wrong. I just wasn't big or strong enough to know what that meant, but I knew she was wrong. And perhaps this is what she was trying to dim, was this Hanen. Because she always knew that this was the light that I was going to be. Who knows? But, you know, I had to accept my painful gifts. If you don't accept your painful gifts, it will cripple you until you do. And so I had to. I don't think I had too much of a choice to become free of the pain and to become this woman that I am today. I had to accept my pain as gifts and to then embrace them and use them to strengthen myself and those, you know, that I help. So, yeah, I mean, but don't get me wrong. I have what I call my 9 out of 10 days. Mm-hmm. 9 out of 10 days, I see it all logically, like I just explained it to you. You know, 9 out of 10 days, I totally understand what happened to me and how much stronger I am because of it all the lessons I've learned, the wisdom that I have. But then I have my 1 out of 10 day where I just think, God, I would trade it all to have my mother. I would be dumb and know nothing, have no wisdom, be a, you know, a stupid last born baby spoiled by her mom to have that. And you know, and I do grieve that, but that's part of accepting the pain. And so, yeah, it took me a while to get here, but you know, God blessed me with this happy spirit. I've been happy, just naturally a happy human all of my life. And I do think that that has helped me get to this point.
So do you dig into that in the book, in the ebook? Do you dig into your healing journey and how you got here? Because since you opened it up.
Since you opened it up, a little deep here.
I wanted to know because, you know, you from 15.
Yeah.
To 18. And then being on your own and you're this nurse. How did that all come together for you? I have my oldest sister is a nurse, and I knew that was a lot of dedication to going to school and working full time and not having a support system like you needed. It
was so incredibly hard. When I tell you, being a nurse, you know, to get your bachelor's in nursing, they say is the hardest bachelor's to obtain. It's a very difficult degree. And then you add on top of it, no support and just, you know, doing your best. So what did I do? So from 18, when I ran away, to becoming a nurse in that, you know, dozen years or so, I worked every job you can imagine. I mean, retail, you know, I worked fast food. I was a server. I became a bartender. I sold door to door in the streets of California, selling knives and, you know, God knows what else. So when I say hustled, I mean it. I mean, I definitely have, you know, worked really hard to get to where I'm at. Certainly no luck or favors. There was no light. You know, what I like to share with some of the clients that I work with, I tell them there was no knight in shining armor. You know, there was no helping hand for me. It was self-belief and knowing that I constant mothering, telling myself, you got this, you can do it. You can, you know, you can too, regardless of whatever that situation was. And that's what got me through. Because let me tell you, if you want to lay on the ground and say to yourself, you can't do it, or you're going to fail, you most 100% will. You will.
I've had those moments. I had those moments in my late 30s, early 40s when I was homeless. And during that period when I was homeless, I lost my mom. As a matter of fact, 9 years ago, this past Saturday, on my son's birthday, she's been gone for 9 years. So when you talk about that gap, that gap of, you know, you have your 9 out of 10 days where you have that one day. And I think we all deserve that one day.
That one day is bad.
Yeah.
That yeah. one day is bad. and you are your own worst enemy on that one day. And that's okay. As a matter of fact, you should say it all, do it all, you know, accept it all, because mm-hmm. the only way you can get through it is by standing up again. If you let the one day become the nine, next thing you know, you're on the floor and all your goals are done.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So yes, I allow myself those feelings. I have my, you know, I feel sorry for myself. Like, you know, I have those woe is me moments, but they are rare. I deal with them and I keep it moving. And that's the only way I've made it. If I had allowed myself to wallow, you know, because it has been very tragic. I mean, my story is one of, I have to warn people, and, you know, because there are triggers in my story. Mm-hmm. And it's been a lot. And so, yeah, there are days where it gets to me. But I allow myself that, and then I always make sure I stand back up again.
Mm-hmm. You have to.
You have to.
You have amazing story. I mean, my hat goes off to you. It really does, for being brave enough to tell it, to put yourself through school, the many, many jobs, the many, many hats that you wear, being a mother with your boys, and also starting this project with Earth Angels is.
Yeah.
You got your hands full. You're a busy bee, but my hat goes off to you for all that you're doing. In the ebook, we get a glimpse of everything that you got going on, or it's just particularly because you did mention how you did speaking engagements. You do a lot of presentations.
Yes. So in the ebook, it's the nine things I wish my mother had taught me, the tools that built my confidence. So these nine tools are the tools that I have used, you know, in my life to get me to where I'm at in terms of confidence. So I do touch, I think, on the about me, just a bit about my history, but this is more so just an ebook to help you grow your toolbox of confidence tools. You know, and initially I had planned on selling it because the tools are, those are my biggies. They're part of my signature talks. But then I decided, you know what? I want to impart these gifts for free, and share them, because everybody can glean, you know, even if it's one or two out of the nine, can glean something from them for sure.
And you definitely have a gift from your mom to all of us here. So I thank you so much, Hanan, for coming on, sharing your story. It was a pleasure talking to you before. You gave me chill bumps just listening to you just now. So I hope that my audience got something out of this story, you guys.
Yes.
You have got to go over to her website, Earth's Angels. I have all her information pinned in the show notes. If you want to get in touch with Hanan, she's got Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. She's got the website, YouTube. You guys, if you want to go back and look at the video to get a copy of her free ebook, you can do that as well. If you want to donate, like she said, as small as $5, $5 a month, that would help a family in Ghana, you know, with food, educational needs. I mean, I can't imagine being a female and not having what I need when that time of the month comes, you know?
Absolutely.
Or having to go back to work right after having a baby. So guys, share. Go follow her on her platforms. Donate if you can. And if there's anybody out there that has a little bit more to give, get in touch with her and see what you can do, because I'm sure she could use another grant.
That's right. Absolutely. Thank you so much. This has been delightful. I've had a great time. And if you can hear my dogs, I'm sorry. Someone must be at the door. Can you not hear them at all?
I can hear them. That's fine. We live in the real world over here. Thank you so much, Hanan. Guys, we will see you guys back here on Monday for Freedom Fridays, not Freedom Fridays, Morning Inspirations at 11:30, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Guys, share. Get this information out here to all your loved ones, your friends, your families. Hanan needs you, the founder of Earth angels. All her information is in the show notes. Please go on over and help her out. We all could use a helping hand. And if you know someone that owns a company that do donations, give them her information. Each one share. You know how we used to say, each one teach one, each one share. Peace and blessings to you all. Until next time.
This podcast is a production of Unfiltered Studios. If you would like to know more about joining Unfiltered Studios, please visit our website at unfpod.com for more information.